Let's read verses 16 through 18 and let's get into the text here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. I'm in verse 16. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're talking about this great event that the Scripture speaks a lot of. It's called the rapture of the church. When Jesus, and this is a crude representation here, and this is straight out of the 1950s, but when Jesus descends from heaven and catches away the believers in Christ to go and be in heaven with him. We're talking about the rapture of the church. What happens to everybody else? Well, we've talked about that. They're left behind to suffer through a period known as the Great Tribulation period. But let's talk about that this morning, and let's ask the Lord's help. Father, we do ask your help today as we look at this great event. And Father God, as we see what is in store for believers, and Lord God, as we continue through this study, Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes to what you have for us from your word as we go on, and especially this morning now, we've come together to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're talking about the rapture of the church, and we've asked the questions. We're asking the questions about the rapture: who, what, when, where, why, and how. We've asked who is involved. We finished that last week. We've asked what is the rapture, when is the rapture. We answered that question not with a date on the calendar, because nobody knows that date on the calendar, but with the relationship to the tribulation period. We determined from the Scriptures that the rapture is before the tribulation period. When is the rapture? Who, what, when? Now let's talk about where, and that's the notes that you got last week, and we didn't get into it last week as we finished up the prior lesson. And so, where do these events take place? And the first question I want to ask, whence cometh the Lord? Where is the Lord Jesus coming from? The Lord Jesus is going to take those believers, dead believers, right out of the grave or wherever their bodies are, and take living believers. But where is he coming from? And verse 16 answers that, for the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's coming from heaven. And when we say that, I have to point out, I've got to take this as an opportunity to teach some things that the Scripture teaches. The word heaven is used three different ways in Scripture, because there are three places that can rightly be called heaven. We have this air, this atmosphere. The Bible talks the fowl of the heaven, birds that fly through the air, and that's heaven. The first heaven, the atmosphere, and several places in the Bible talks about the atmosphere that surrounds the earth and calls it heaven. Everything that we can see above us surrounding this earth, that's heaven. And the second heaven is the heavens where the stars are, space, the final, no, outer space. That's the second heaven, where the stars are. The stars of heaven, the Bible speaks of, that's the second heaven. And then there's a third heaven that the Bible speaks of, where the throne of God is, where the dwelling place of God is. And so when the Bible speaks of heaven, those are the three heavens. Which one is the Lord coming from? Well, where is he at right now? At the right hand of God. So he's coming from that third heaven. He's coming from heaven. The Lord is coming from heaven. Just picture that for a moment. He came from heaven once before. That's what we celebrate at this time of year. The Lord Jesus did not begin his existence in Bethlehem when he was born, or 9 months before when he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus has always been. There's never been a time when Jesus did not exist. There will never be a time when Jesus will not exist. The Lord Jesus is eternal. And where was he at prior to birth or that conception 2,000 years ago, where was he at? He was in heaven being worshipped by angels as he is deserving of worship. He was in heaven enjoying perfect fellowship with God the Father. He was in heaven from eternity past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in heaven controlling this universe. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. By Him, Colossians 1, by Him all things consist, all things hold together by Jesus Christ. What is keeping this universe from flying apart? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in heaven. He came from heaven once before. That's that great event that we look back to here at this time of year. But He's coming from heaven once again. That's that great event that we look forward to. Yes, that could happen at any moment. Turn to John chapter 14. Where is He coming from? John chapter 14. Let's start at verse, let's read just verses 1. Let's read 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, why were they troubled? Well, let's go up into chapter 13 and look at verse 16. Start at verse 16. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? He'd been telling them, I'm going away. This is the night before the crucifixion. He's telling them, I'm going away. Where are you going? Jesus answered him, verse 36. Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now he says, let not your heart be troubled. All these things he's saying, I'm going away, I'm going away. And he looks on their faces and he sees that there is some troubling. There is some sadness. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Well, if Jesus ever came right out and said who he was, here he is. Just like you believe in God, believe in me. Why? He is God the Son. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So when he's crucified, where is he going? To his Father's house. So when he comes back for us, where is he coming from? His Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither or where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where is the Lord coming from? He's coming from heaven. He's coming from his Father's house. He's been at his Father's house preparing a place for you and for me, so that when he comes again, he will take us with him. Where I am, there ye may be also. Just like Paul said, we read in 1 Thessalonians, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, Jesus said, where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming from his Father's house. Where is he at in his Father's house? We just answered it a minute ago. He's coming from his current place at the Father's right hand. Jesus Christ is seated in heaven and seated at the Father's right hand. Let's look at that. Let's look at that in the Old Testament. Look at the 110th Psalm. Now this is very interesting. The 110th Psalm, a Psalm of David, it says. This is David writing. The Lord. Notice anything about that word Lord? Anybody notice in your Bible? It's what? It's all caps, which means the Hebrew is what? Jehovah God. God the Father. The Lord said unto my Lord. Notice anything about that, Lord? It's not all caps. This is the Hebrew word. I believe it's Adonai. If I study that right, the Lord Jehovah God said unto my Lord. So who is David calling my Lord? The Messiah, the coming Messiah. David lived 1,000 years before his birth, but he knew he was coming. And he referred to him as my Lord. The Lord said to the Messiah, to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So David prophesied. By the way, Jesus quoted this in the New Testament. He said, who do you think the Messiah is? And whose son is the Messiah? And he said, the son of David. He said, well then, David said, the Lord said to my Lord. How can he be David's son if he's David's Lord? But he prophesies that Jehovah God tells the Messiah, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Go to the New Testament. Let's look at Mark chapter... No, let's go on into Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And Stephen is preaching here right before he was stoned to death for the faith of Christ. And let's come down to verse 55. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Let's start at verse 54. When they heard these things, Stephen preached, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This is something interesting. Throughout the Old Testament, we're told Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Now, Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, is dying, and he looks up and he sees Jesus Christ not sitting at the right hand of God, but standing at the right hand of God. Standing to receive a faithful martyr. Wow. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. So where is the Lord coming from when he comes in the rapture? He's coming from heaven. He's coming from his Father's house. He's coming from his current place at the right hand of God. Current place at the Father's right hand. What is he doing there? Look at Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, being our mediator. For there, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's not a multitude of mediators. You can't pray to a saint. You can't pray to Mary and expect her to go and mediate to God for you. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. How can he be the mediator between God and man? Because he is both God and man. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is God and man. He can be the mediator. That's what he's doing at the right hand. There is a man seated at the right hand of God. By the way, when he took on flesh, that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. He became a man without ceasing to be God, but he never stopped being a man. He is still a man today. As he's seated in heaven, he's still a man today. That's why he can be our mediator. That's why he can be our great high priest. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm jumping into the middle of one of these Apostle Paul sentences. It's about 12 verses long. So we're not going to read all 12 verses. I'm going to jump right into the middle of this sentence. in verse 20, just to point out something that we're going to then see in the next chapter. Which he wrought in Christ, his mighty power into verse 19, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So he's seated at the right hand in the what places? Heavenly places. Now I want to show you something in chapter 2. It's not in your notes, but you might want to write it down in your notes. Verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. What's that word quickened mean? Made alive. Made us alive. We were dead in sins. He made us alive. Quickened us together with Christ. Now watch all this togetherness here. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together. And made us, watch this, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's Jesus at right now? Seated in heavenly places. If you've trusted Christ, this is a mystery I can't comprehend with my finite human mind, but if you've trusted Christ, the Bible teaches that you're seated in the same place as Jesus Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. And you're seated in heavenly places. He is made to sit at Christ, at God. He was brought to sit at God's right hand in heavenly places. Now, when you trusted Christ, you were quickened together with Christ, raised up, ascended with Christ, and seated in heavenly places in Christ. Can you understand that? Can you explain that? I can't understand or explain that, but I believe it because the Bible says it's true. I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and produces white milk, but I don't have to understand it to enjoy the milk. So, where is he coming from? He's coming from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming from his Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's coming from his current place at the Father's right hand. All right. So that's part of the where. Where? Where is the Lord coming from? The next question. Where are the saints coming from? Back to 1 Thessalonians. Whence cometh the saints? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Where are the saints coming from? Well, some are coming from their graves. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to get a new resurrection body. The same kind of body that Jesus Christ had. Now let me ask you a question. What about somebody that died and didn't get buried? What about, I want to put on your thinking cap. What about somebody that died in a house fire? The molecules of their body were scattered to the air and spread over half the countryside. Amen. Did everybody hear what he said? Go ahead, Adam.
Or what if you were an organ donor and you got an eyeball in somebody else's head?
What's gonna happen to the unsaved person that's got a saved person's heart at the rapture? I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I'll have empty graves to put them
in. Yeah, there'll be plenty of empty graves. Well, hey, here's the point. You know, people raise all kinds of objections to what the scripture says. People raise all kinds of objections. You know what? With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God knows. Does God even need every molecule that was ever part of your body to we shed skin all the time. Is God going to bring all that skin back? No. God knows. God knows. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not every one of us is going to be dead by the time the rapture comes. but we shall all be changed. So they're coming. Where are the saints coming from? They're coming from their graves if they've passed on in Christ. They're coming from their various stations in life. Look at verse 17 here in 1 Thessalonians. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What do you think? Just look at your life over the past month, what you spent the majority of your time doing. So statistically speaking, what's it likely that you're going to be doing? Where are you going to be at if the rapture is tomorrow? If the rapture is tomorrow, Monday morning at 8:45 a.m., where are you going to be at? What are you going to be doing?
In bed.
In bed. Work. He's got Christmas week off. If the rapture is a Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, what are you going to be doing? Where are you going to be at?
Washing dishes.
You've been doing a lot of dishwashing. You got a dishwasher yet in your new house? Yeah, got 4 dishwashers. What are you going to be doing? It's an instantaneous event around the world. Some will be in their beds asleep. Some will be starting their morning. Some will be starting their evening. Some will be starting their afternoon. It's an instantaneous event. Here's what I've always wondered, and this is along the lines of the last question we asked. They're trying to have a mission to Mars by the year 2028. What if there's a believer on Mars when God descends from heaven to the earth, when Jesus descends from
is that
a problem? That's a problem for Houston Control. Is that a problem for God? Is that a problem for God? All right, where are the saints coming from? Okay, finally today, where is the meeting place? Where is the meeting place? Let's look at it again. Let's look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. First of all, in the clouds, in the earth's lower atmosphere. This word, it's a place where clouds are. Some that are rapture deniers, some that say, oh, that's a sensationalist view of what that scripture teaches. They say it's actually just the cloud of believers. But then that ignores the very next phrase, in the air. In the air. What is that air? You understand the New Testament was written in Greek. There's two Greek words that are used for air. One is pronounced air. And that's the word that's used here. The other is pronounced ether. And that refers to the upper atmosphere, what we would call the stratosphere, the way up yonder. It's said that a Greek could go stand on the top of Mount Olympus, and he could point down through the air between him and the ground. He could say that's air, and if he pointed up, he'd say that's ether. So we understand this word that Paul uses is not ether; it's air. It's the lower atmosphere. Jesus will come as far as the lower atmosphere, and we will meet him there. That is the meeting place. I quoted Thayer's lexicon, and I quoted Liddell and Scott's lexicon, but I've explained that. The air. Now, what am I? Okay, let's compare. Here's where we have to do some comparison of Scripture with Scripture, and why we come up with a chart such as this. The rapture, Jesus returns to the air, 7-year tribulation period, and then the second coming of Christ to the earth. Because the Bible says in Zechariah that when Christ returns, he will set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. That's where he left from, by the way, when he ascended in Acts chapter 1. He will set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. So that's how we, that's one of many clues that help us determine that the, this event spoken of in 1 Thessalonians, the rapture, is not the same as the event spoken of Christ's return to the earth. He comes in the air for us. Then after the tribulation period, he comes to the earth with us. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, Jude writes. So we have to be clear, because when you're reading certain portions of Scripture and it's talking about the Lord's return, you have to understand, is it talking about this event or is it talking about this event? These are two distinct events, and people that muddy them up, that's how they come up with a mid-trib rapture, a post-tribulation rapture, and all this, because they can't make a distinction between these two events. There's an obvious distinction. One, he's coming to the air. One, he's coming to the earth. Okay, in the rapture, he's coming for us in the air, and we're looking for that, by the way. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship, our life, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence? From where? From heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. You ever get tired of this flesh you're carrying around? Who shall change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We are looking. We've got our eye on the sky. We are looking for that blessed hope. We are looking for him to come for us in the air. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, the Bible says that the Thessalonians wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They wait for his Son from heaven. That's what we're looking for. That's the rapture. The second advent, however, is Christ coming to the earth. Zechariah 14:4. He's coming to the Mount of Olives. You remember when he left, when he ascended? Where was that at? Acts chapter 1. They were on the Mount of Olives. And he ascended. And they watched him slowly ascend. And the angel told, ye men of Galilee, he's coming back the same way you saw him go. He's coming back. That's what he's talking about. That second advent. I won't go on that. We don't have time. But this is the event that we're looking for. The rapture is coming in the air. You have to make a distinction. Listen, if you don't make a distinction between the rapture and the second advent, this one coming to the air, this one coming to the earth, this one coming for the saints, this one coming with the saints, this one primarily concerning, well, this one completely concerning the church, the New Testament church, this one primarily concerning Israel. If you don't make a distinction between these, you're going to open Matthew 24 and 25, and you're going to come up with a post-tribulation rapture. You're going to open other portions of the Scripture, and you're going to come up with maybe a mid-tribulation rapture. You've got to make a distinction. You've got to understand. How do we understand that? Well, where's the meeting place? In the air. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. How many of you know that song? Get your hand up, Kinsey. I know you know that song. What a glad reunion day. What a glad reunion day. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God today. Lord, just bless as we continue to look at this great event. Lord, help us to understand it and help us by our understanding of it to even more desirously look forward to it. Father, now bless the church services today. Guide and direct as only you can. We thank you, Lord God, for what is going to take place today and what already has. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.